All right, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Danny Coulomb coming up at 3:20. The Rangers relief pitcher, he was electric last night, pitched a perfect seventh inning. I think it only took him 10 pitches. Guy's just dialed since he's been here, hasn't given up a run in Rangers uniform, and Danny's going to join us here, Rangers player show coming up in 20. But Cowboys practice is happening, and information is flowing. We do have some inactives for you today. Elijah Clark, Jaden Blue, still with the ankle or the heel.
You know, heel.
Okay.
Heel, yeah.
Sadiq Charles.
That was is that a knee? That's a hyperextended knee.
Yeah, it was a knee.
Yeah.
He's out of there. Yeah. But Ferg is active. Joe Milton is active. Miles Sanders is back.
Okay, there you go.
And
okay.
Javonte Williams is out here. Some of the clips look like he's pretty good.
Yeah, Javonte, one of the guys in quite a few highlights here so far at today's practice. It'll be over here coming up before Krusty's Corner, and throughout the day we'll be unpacking all of the news. The shoddy presser preceded practices, and he said there's going to be two physical ones today and tomorrow. Peyton Turner, one casualty of physical practice so far. He had to go to the tent and left. Depth Edge, you've been pretty impressed with him, the free agent, right, Brian? Peyton Turner?
Yeah, he's been. I kind of felt like that his ability to play both outside, inside, in nickel, and he's shown some pass rush ability in the practices, not so much last week against the Rams, but working against his own teammates, though, he's flashed them a bit.
It was good to listen to the shoddy presser today as we get in to get ready for the show right there in the 1 o'clock hour. He's usually yapping. And the best thing he said was that Dak's got to be able to run it. Yeah, he says the quarterback has to be able to move, make plays, extend plays, but he's got to be smart and get down. He said they've been working on ramping Dak up to full speed, not because of the hamstring injury, but that's just, how they want to handle quarterback, and as this is going on, running just a little bit harder every week until you reach the point where you're free to fully open up once the regular season starts. But I think this is one of the best things we've heard, because if your quarterback, if you're not trying to make plays with him in the running game, I think you probably need a new one. Maybe there's a couple of examples in history, but I don't know if you could get it done in today's game with a quarterback that's just going to give you nothing. But, I want to get your guys' thoughts on how that is best managed because of Dak's injury. Like, what if they start slow? And what if you're not a playoff team? Do you still want your quarterback running then? I don't think so. I think I want Dak running zero if they start like 2-5. Just get rid of the ball. Throw it out of bounds. Your running quarterback is a massive injury risk. I think you should only do it if you're contending. That's who the guy is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely is a huge advantage if you can use it. You also have to be smart with it. There's plenty of guys that have been able to run. And Dak's not like some burner. He's not going to go Lamar Jackson on you. But to go steal a first down here or there and have the wherewithal of getting down or getting out of bounds, I think he should be able to have some of that. And the onus should be on him to pick his spots for it. And, I mean, he's talking about meeting the Rams in the NFC Championship game. You're going to have to do a little scrambling.
Yeah, yeah, that was a pretty good line there. Shoddy said on Trayshon Holden, happy birthday. He did turn 24 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Said he can play all the different spots, X, Z slot, no problem. Said he's a gamer, and what we're seeing is not him getting lucky. This is the product of instincts and skills out there. Be really interesting to see once we get to, week one, what kind of a role Trayshon Holden is going to have, Brian.
I think that he is battling right now to try and do is find a way to be the fifth receiver on this team. I don't know how many wide receivers they're going to keep. And so what he's got to find a way to do is, because they're going to be hurting at certain spots and they might have to go a little long. And I wonder if they're going to rob the wide receiver spot and just go five. So he's got to find a way to be the fifth receiver. If they carry six, I think he's clearly in. If he's the fifth one though, I think he's ahead right now of some guys. I think he's ahead of Brooks as well. I think he's ahead of Flannoy right now. So he has got to figure out how can I be the fifth receiver on this football team. And I think that will give him the best opportunity to make this team.
Is Mingo and Tolbert a lock?
I don't think that's where I'm kind of, you got to figure out, okay, who is number four and then who is number five? So, the thing.
Turpin's three to you?
Turpin's three, and he's only three because of all the things that they're asking him to do. So I kind of feel like that they list him as a wide receiver. So he is three. Now figure out who's four, five, and six, and that's will be. But I kind of feel like that they're in a situation. Again, keep in mind, they might just go with five guys at receiver just because of injuries at other spots.
We got an update on Guyton today, taking part in some walkthroughs. Still no timeline, but pleased with the intensity Guyton has shown in rehab. So what do we have, about 3 weeks until week one? Is that enough time for him to close the gap? I think that'd still be a long shot, but the best part about that is the injury didn't frustrate him or take him off course, and he remains super locked in, high work ethic guy, and that is a tremendous development with Guyton after a rookie year.
Yeah, you're going to have to question now. You're going to have to ask yourself, has whoever's won the left tackle job since he's been gone, does that guy give you the best opportunity? Because Guyton has only had limited training camp. Does, at least in week one, does one of these guys, whether it's Thomas or Awesome Richards?
Well, today was interesting. Joseph Hoyt pointed out, I guess it was still Thomas working with the first team. With the second team line was Akeem Adeniji moving to the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome Richards at left guard, then Bass at center, Hoffman at right guard, and Johnny Cornelius at right tackle. So they had kicked Richards inside with the second team and switched sides with Adeniji.
Yeah, so that means they're trying to figure out a spot, what happened with Charles. They're down now because they lost Charles. He was their backup guard. So I guess what that means is they're going to go ahead and put Awesome Richards inside. Guard. Yeah.
Okay. A day after we had the news, UT number 1A preseason for the first time ever. Today the news, they're the first AP number 1 to be an underdog in week one.
How about that?
On the road?
Ohio State hosting them in a couple weeks here. Horns are plus 115 on the money line, 2.5 against the spread. I thought at the start of this, UT was favored.
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Like when you first set the, when the lines first came out?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
What is it, Ohio State 2.5? Like, you usually get, what, 2 points for being a home team?
Yeah. Three.
So 2.5, I mean, yeah. I'd take Texas to cover that. I'd take Texas to win.
How's Ohio State doing at quarterback? I mean, they both lost their guy.
They just announced, I think, their starter. I think it is going to be Julian Sain. But, I mean, look, Ohio State still got Caleb Downs, who's the best safety in the country, and they got the best wide receiver in the country, and Jeremiah Smith. They're a good football team, but I'm a big believer in Texas defense. I think Colin Simmons, Anthony Hill, Muhammad at DB, Michael Taft at safety. Like, I think defense is what's going to carry Texas early on, and the offense starts to put it together. I mean, the Wingo Manning connection's been working from practice. I've been hearing from Texas. They got CJ Baxter back in the backfield. They've still got some explosive playmakers, but I'm a big believer that Texas could have the best defense in the country this year.
They are co-favorites for the championship. They're a plus 550. I don't think I would do either one of those. The odds just aren't good enough, you know, this early in the season to lock up your capital in something that's only going to pay 5-1 there. It's going to be a long wait for it. And a lot of things could derail you along the way. Like, man, you got to win a couple of playoff games to even get there against good football teams. So I would need, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 to one on Longhorns to want to bet them right now to win the championship. 550, you kidding me? Okay, Ty Simpson will open the 25 season as Bama's starting QB. A source is telling ESPN he was ESPN's number 2 dual-threat quarterback nationally in 22. Chose Bama over Clemson and Tennessee. His father, Jason's the head coach at UT Martin, and he's just been at Bama waiting. He is now a redshirt junior. He's played parts of a couple of games, and he appeared to have the best grasp of the offense in their scrimmage on Saturday, but Milroe beat him out a couple of years ago. I guess you tip your cap to a guy like this, right? He loves being a Bama quarterback, and he believed in himself, and that would be quite a story here if you know, 4 or 5 years later, he finally gets his chance and makes something big happen. Okay, ESPN did their new top 50 baseball player rankings. How many players do you think the Rangers got, guys?
Top 3. 50.
Top how many?
Top 50.
3.
Seager, DeGrom, Eovaldi.
Yep, that would be my guess.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, it's amazing how the talent has dried up. Was that career years? You know,
well, you would have evidently had Simeon, but yeah. I mean,
yeah. Simeon got old. Heim showed flash in the pan. Did Garcia get old? You know, I guess I would imagine Evan Carter might at this point be on this list after he debuted. Wyatt Langford could be on this list. Josh Young could be on this list. Like, players either got old or just never really fully arrived. And it continues to hammer home that point that maybe 2023 was the most majestic sports ride we've ever been on. And it's just, it's not congruent with everything that's happened before and afterwards. But, you know, I guess I didn't expect to see anybody else who just hammered home the deal that that's where we are. Evaldi's 39th, despite giving up the 5 runs yesterday. He's got one of the best ERAs in the sport. DeGrom, 41, great season. But they say he's only thrown 100 pitches once. Isn't that weird? Isn't it? Shouldn't you have DeGrom at least in your top 20?
Yeah, I mean, this is for right now. It's top 50 players right now. Evaldi and DeGrom need to be higher than that. That's ridiculous.
And I don't know where you put Corey Seager. I mean, the guy has 17 home runs after, you know, missing 33 games. But, man, he ranks second among qualified shortstops with a 359 WOBA. And, you know, that's a big one Sandler's always talking about. Seager's the lone hitter on the team with an 847 OPS. He's the only hitter on the team with an OPS right now above 727. You talk about lack of protection. That's what's going on there for Corey Seager. But the guy just flat out keeps getting it done. And, you know, in my mind, he's a top 10 player in the game. Maybe that's homerish, at least top 10 position player. I guess I feel like he's one of the most clutch guys ever, considering what he did with the Dodgers and Rangers. You're trying to win a championship, and I have Corey Seager, you don't. I really like my chances. Quick Mavs note: they're in the opening night doubleheader. Mavs and Spurs, 8:30. That's going to be October 22nd, right after New York and Cleveland. They're going to play Christmas as well, taking on the Warriors at 7:00. That's a pretty huge deal. So looking forward to that. But how about John Stockton going after LeBron James' career today? Says Jordan's career more impressive, and the why? Says, I like when guys tighten their belt up and say, let's go to work. We just got to get better. We got to play harder. We got to play smarter instead of just, where's the grass greener? I'm going to go there and win a championship. I think it devalues that. You're not climbing the mountain. You're taking a helicopter to the top. Did John Stockton think he was asked to talk about Kevin Durant or something in here? What the hell's John Stockton doing winning Hater of the Year talking about LeBron James? LeBron is the helicopter taking you close to the apex of the mountain. And then if the other people in that helicopter are capable of anything, then you get to the top. That's some wild revisionist history, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's just a different route, obviously bouncing around a little bit and trying to capitalize on great situations, in particular going to Miami and then going back to Cleveland. Like, those were both great opportunities for him to sort of circumvent the team building aspect and be able to just like take off. But he has always been the reason his team has done anything good. And he's dragged awful rosters to the finals. He had the 3-1 comeback versus one of the greatest teams we've ever seen in Golden State. And he went to a million consecutive NBA finals. Like, this dude is the reason. So that's a super old school mentality, right? Yeah. And he doesn't understand that how different the league was when MJ was doing it and how easy it was to keep your roster together compared to what the league is now. So
yeah, he was a one uniform guy, and you know, he didn't win a championship. So I think maybe this is part cope for him, you know, because he didn't leave to go for a championship. Maybe he's looking at, you know, the way that he decided to go about it as a better way of doing things.
Yeah, but he was more ethical in the way he went about his career.
Yeah, but I think that was a great point, that it was easier to keep a great team together. So whenever you added a good player back then, he was on your team until he retired. So you get to add a Jeff Hornacek, a Brian Russell, you know, obviously Karl Malone, but you didn't have to worry about the salary cap, you know, crushing you the way that it does today for team building.
I mean, LeBron did go and say, hey, let me get all my the best players in the NBA together and build a super team.
Yes, and part of the reason that he had to do that was he was working for a dumpster fire organization.
Sure.
And the thing with LeBron is, as soon as he got there, they became great, you know? So there was no like lottery picks before him that could really help or after him. He had to leave Cleveland so they could be bad enough to draft Kyrie Irving and get the draft rights to Andrew Wiggins so they could have the capital to build a winning team around him. Jordan arrived. He was pretty good, but the East was so loaded, you couldn't just snap your fingers and become a playoff team. Then he broke his leg. So the team got more draft capital in year two around Jordan as he was sitting out all those games. And then, you know, the tremendous benefit of bringing in a Tony Kukoc and a Dennis Rodman and, you know, all the players that they were able to compile as far as championship chasers in that they added to build some of the greatest rosters, some of the greatest supporting casts. I just think it's kind of an apples and oranges discussion. Okay, maybe too much time on that. That's my bad. Okay, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And we got a Rangers player show coming up next here. Krusty's Corner right around the corner, and we're back here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the Rangers player show here on your home of the Rangers. Pregame coming up 6:30 tonight. Going to look for another dub against Arizona. Segment's brought to you by Globe Life. The Texas Rangers player show brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. As pitcher Danny Coulombe joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. And good afternoon, Danny. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Yeah, well, great watching you last night. Super clean seventh inning, 10 pitches, 8 of them strikes, giving up just 2 hits and 5 appearances for the Rangers so far. I'd say you're settling pretty well then.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good. It's been it's awesome to be a part of such a good bullpen.
And what I know you're from, you played a little college ball there at Tech. How's North Texas for you? Is this a good spot?
Yeah, you know, I actually live here in the off season, so this has been just honestly awesome just to be able to live at home, sleep in my own bed. It's a little bit of an adjustment, but it's been great.
So you ended up settling where the wife was from? Am I putting that together properly?
No doubt. I mean, if you meet a girl in Texas, you're probably going to end up in Texas. No doubt about
that. Who are you telling, dude? I did the same thing here. So, Danny, and then how are the guys? You know, I guess you already knew Seager and Semien from previous stops. How's the rest of the clubhouse doing for you as you're getting settled in?
You know, it's been great. All the guys are awesome. It's a really good group. And so obviously it's nice knowing a few guys from before. I knew Higashioka. We played together with the Yankees. So, yeah, I mean, like just having some familiar faces, but also like all the guys, I mean, they've just been really awesome.
Have you and Josh been bonding over that Red Raider connection?
Yeah. You know, obviously I'd never met Josh before, but obviously he's a Red Raider legend. So it was nice to finally meet him.
What's the, from a pitcher, really just a player's mindset, but the trade deadline, is there stress involved? Are you trying to just kind of not think about that and focus on what you can control? But I've always thought that's got to be a weird period for a player.
Yeah, you know, the week going into the deadline was a little odd because we had been kind of struggling as a team with Minnesota, and so we knew that we were probably going to sell. And then once Chris Paddock got moved, we kind of knew it was real. And so, you know, the hour up leading up to the deadline, we were all watching it together in a hotel room in Cleveland, and it was like phone call after phone call, guy getting traded after guy getting traded. It was kind of a wild experience.
Hey, Danny, when you mentioned getting traded and stuff, though, when you walk into that clubhouse, how much does, like, Mike Maddox know about you and how you pitch? Did he sit down and say, I've seen a bunch of video of you and I know you and this is that and the other? How familiar are they with you and what you bring?
I mean, that's exactly what he said to me. I walk in and we have a little meeting of kind of what we want to do. And he said, you know, I've watched a lot of video of you. And so I know what you like to do and what you want to do. And if you have any recommendations, like talk to the catchers, get together with them. And, you know, it was a pretty seamless transition, to be honest.
Yeah. How long does that usually take to get comfortable with a catcher?
Yeah, it probably takes one or two appearances. I mean, luckily, I had thrown to Higashioka, Higgy, in the past. So, you know, he had some familiarity with me. But, you know, Jonah and I, he had never, ever caught a pitch from me. And we're finding ourselves in Seattle in the seventh inning in a one-run ball game. But that's the beauty of it.
So you're obviously now thrown into a postseason chase here with the Rangers. But from the outside looking in, what were your thoughts about Texas? I mean, you were with Baltimore in 2023 during that postseason series. But what did you think about the Rangers as a club before now being a part of the team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously in 2023, Rangers came in and swept us in 3 games. And so that was kind of my first memory of that. You know, obviously, it's pretty awesome to be on this side of it now, but it just shows like what this team can do if, you know, if we're able to catch fire. And that's, I mean, this team is very similar to that 23 team. I mean, it was just kind of like, let's get in and see what happens. And, you know, anything can happen in baseball.
What needs to happen, you think, here down the stretch? What are the keys to victory here as, you know, you're stepping in? It's only a couple of weeks in, but what does this team need to do in order to have success day in and day out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just continually just, you know, taking every pitch. I mean, you win a game pitch by pitch and then at bat by bat. So I think it's just taking one thing at a time, you know, stacking some good at-bats together, stacking some good pitches together, and just we'll keep rolling.
How much have you had a chance to work with Mike Maddux so far?
Yeah, you know, he's been great. We haven't really, I mean, it's kind of hard when, you know, he's got so many things going on and he's, you know, obviously starters have pens every day. But yeah, we've had some good conversations about what I like to do and he's got a really good idea about that and it's been really helpful.
I mean, he looks kind of like a Western gunslinger, doesn't he? Is he intimidating at all? He's a legend in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard so much about him. I heard he was awesome, and the players love him. So, you know, it's been awesome to get to meet him, and you know, get to kind of hear his story. It's just he was such a great pitcher too.
Danny, you had to overcome some injuries during college. I mean, your college story is pretty incredible. But we've talked about like looking across Major League Baseball with the pitching injuries. Do you have any thoughts on that? And through your own journey and story, maybe how you've been able to help guys like Bradford or Malley that are trying to deal with some of the stuff now, or even other former teammates.
Yeah, you know, pitching is just such a, I mean, every pitcher is injury prone. I mean, it's just such an unnatural movement. And now with, you know, teams just love velocity and they love nasty breaking balls. So those are things that ultimately you're going to put yourself more at risk when you do those things. The game's changed in a lot of ways, but you know, honestly, with injuries, yeah, like my 4 years in college, I was hurt every year. I think I threw a total of, I threw less than 50 innings in 4 years of college. And, you know, I played baseball essentially as a resume booster. Like I got drafted and I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. And it looks really good in a resume for my next job. So I guess I'm still building that resume.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to probably do something in finance. I didn't know exactly, but yeah, I mean, I remember having a conversation with my now then girlfriend, now wife, and just like, hey, you know, I'm going to do this for a few months. We'll see how it goes, but I mean, this is probably going to be it. But yeah, it's been quite the wild ride.
Did you want to? You're like the wolf of the bullpen right now. Did you want to go like Wolf of Wall Street style on it? I mean, obviously without the lifestyle stuff, being married and all that. But what were you thinking about with finance?
You know, maybe some personal financial planning. You know, I really didn't know at the time. It was more just like, I'm going to get my degree in finance, see where it takes me.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be a good skill set to have as Danny Kaluum joins us here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, how well do you know our hero from last night in the ninth, Rowdy Tellez?
You know, I've faced him a lot. He's a really good hitter. He just takes good at-bats every time he goes up there. So, you know, I've gotten to talk with him a little bit here. But, yeah, I remember I've probably faced him 5, maybe even 10 times. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with, man, that swing. And it's a powerful swing.
Well, he was on the AJ Pierzynski podcast thing today, and he ripped us pretty good. I don't know if you heard about it, but he was on with us a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear anything about that?
No. What happened?
Well, you know, I guess I just messed up. You know, I messed up the interview. And if you do happen to, you know, run by him today or whatever, just let him know that I would love a chance for a redo.
Great. I'll let him know for sure.
We can hash it out over some brisket Sandoz. What do you say?
Exactly.
Danny Kaluum here with you on 105 Through the Fan. I also saw looking at your bio here that your grandfather was in World War II and he was a B-17 gunner. And there's a book that's kind of written about what was going on in his part of the world that time.
Yep. Yeah. He's got a pretty amazing story. You know, the most amazing thing part about it is we didn't know anything about it until he passed away. Wow. So he was a good soldier till the end. He didn't say a word. And when it was declassified, we found out that he was on a really famous trip and where he was essentially on a plane and it was going into enemy territory and it had taken some fire. And so it was in really, really bad shape. And a German soldier was essentially sent to go shoot it down. Instead of shooting it down, he saw how bad a shape it was. He redirected it over Allied territory. And so my grandfather, yeah, should have never been alive. Therefore, I would never be alive. So it's a pretty amazing story.
Holy cow. And did that end up getting turned into a movie yet?
I think they're still working on it, but I know a few years ago there were some talks about it, but the book is great. It's called A Higher Call. It's a great book.
It's incredible. Wow.
Well, you know, we were talking about how you faced a guy like Rowdy Tellez quite a bit. From a pitcher's standpoint, is that more of an advantage for you, or do you feel like that's more advantage hitter when you kind of go back to the well versus the same guy?
Yeah, for me specifically, I've got a really unique arm slot and a kind of some deception to my delivery. So I think anytime a hitter gets to see me, it probably benefits them more. You know, not saying I can't get them out, but like, you know, the first time I see somebody, it's just a very unique profile. So yeah, I would say that the more and more you face somebody, it's probably advantage to the hitter for sure.
And how did you develop that particular pitching technique?
Yeah. So no, I was always an outfielder growing up. So I always threw way over the top. And then when I first debuted in 2014, I was over the top and I kind of lowered my arm action because, you know, at the time we didn't really know much about, you know, angles and stuff. And it was like, hey, if you're a lower slot, generally you can be more successful against left-handed hitters. But it just really hurt me against right-handers. So a few years ago, I was actually just kind of messing around where I threw in the off season, and I figured out that like I could go back up higher slot. I didn't lose velo, and it was just a really unique some unique movements. And so that's kind of how I started doing it. That was the year going into 2023, and then obviously I was with the Twins, and then went over to the Orioles for a few years. And so yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
So living in Texas, well, here locally in the off season, is this a place that maybe you'd like to stay for the remainder of your career?
I mean, yeah, I would love to. I mean, it's a great place to play. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, this team is great. I think it's a team that's going to compete. I mean, the ownership wants to win. And so those are things, you know, especially as I get older, like matter a lot more is winning. And that's just, I want the opportunity to pitch in the World Series and, you know, win a World Series ultimately. So I think this is a place that can be done.
We would love that. Now, last night's game, obviously the way that it happened, the comeback, the walk-off victory, Is that something that you really think can propel the team down the stretch, or is it just one of 162 and you can't make too big of a deal about it?
I think anytime you come back from a large deficit and win a game, it's a big deal. It's a momentum booster, especially after getting swept from the Phillies. You know, I think that's always that was huge for us. So I think that we know how good this team is. Everybody knows that this team has the, you know, if we can get in, we can make some noise in the postseason. So, you know, ultimately we're just going to take it a game at a time and go from there.
Give him hell, Danny. We'll be pulling for you.
Appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Danny Colom here, the new Ranger coming down from Minnesota. And he has been amazing in 5 appearances so far for the Texas Rangers. A heck of a 7th inning last night, getting it done. The Texas Tech Record Raider brought to you by Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better, Brian.
Odds are that he's going to say something.
To Rowdy?
Yeah.
You think so?
Odds are. I'm going to ask you.
I would say pretty good because he was like, hey, what's going on there? But then he was short, which told me he was ready to move on from that. So maybe it was just a little uncomfortable with him. I'd say 50-50.
Might have forgotten about it already. We did get news. Josh Hader of the Astros, he's going on the IL with a left shoulder strain.
Oh,
so from the Rangers bullpen, the Astros bullpen now with a big loss.
All righty. Yeah, I think it would be a perfect ending if we could ask everybody to get a message to Rowdy, and then he would come on and we'll do an excellent interview. Wouldn't that be a great conclusion to it? I mean, I could tell today he was really bothered, you know, and I'm a guilty conscience guy, right? I'm going to be thinking, man, that's really messed up that I, you know, ruined an interview so much that it was still top of mind 3 weeks later for him. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't my intent, as I've said many times. It's not hard for me to screw up and look unprofessional. You know, I do it quite often on accident.
Yeah.
So maybe some people find that hard to believe, you know, that I could have possibly screwed up that much on accident because I sound like the perfect polished broadcaster who's got his stuff together at all times. You know, you're like, wow, it just doesn't make sense, Dawson. But trust me, I'm being dead balls on honest with you right now. And I just like to make things right with an A-plus interview with Rowdy before this season.
Same here, man. Let's get redemption.
All righty. When we come back, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking us, buddy?
Yeah, I've been looking through these practice clips. Let's see if we can have some observations from those. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. And thanks to Danny for joining us there from your Rangers, Rangers Player Show every Tuesday at 3:20. If you missed it, Rowdy Tellez was on with the AJ Pierzynski show today. What do they call that show? It's the baseball
foul territory.
Foul territory. And he had thoughts, you know, about, so you'll hear that coming up at the G Bag of the Day at 5:30. It'll be a can't miss G Bag of the Day for 5:30. Time now for Krusty's
Corner.
How
do you know?
Well, I heard.
I don't know. Chuck
said.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
Well,
we're jam packed.
Okay.
Maybe we don't fit it in.
It might get bumped.
Might get bumped.
Please. Please.
I just wondered if I said anything to bump it.
That's in the front of the line, fam. What you talking about?
Well, I know you have been prone to taking care of us in the past, so maybe you were just going to let that one slide. I know the Tolos are just giggling with joy, making fun of me once again for that failed interview, which I've apologized for several times. I mean, I'm actually starting to feel like more of a victim than Rowdy myself of this whole deal. But anyway, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning.
Here at Sandler 2.0.
Gimmick-free
that's
AC.
Magic right there, bro.
Repair and replacement. That's, getting my
that's magic off. Right there, yeah. I'm the real victim.
What did he just say, Lucius?
I learned from Dale Hansen, you know, back in Barry Switzer.
Yeah, sliding
king.
Deal.
Yeah.
The real victim
was assaulted.
Here.
Assassinated my character.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah. Here's Brian.
Thank you. And thank you to Reliant.
Here's Brian.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you to you and Reliant as well.
Yeah, they're great.
But shake your confidence a little bit interviewing. I mean, when stuff like that.
What's left of it?
I mean, yeah. did you feel like this was? Did you feel like this was over? Did you feel like this was over and was done?
Yeah, and then it came back.
And then it came back.
Yeah,
goes like, away, but then it comes back.
It came back in a real way too.
I guess I'm laughing to hide the tears. You know. But, you know, I can take
tears
care of
a clown.
The jester.
Yeah.
Ouch, it hurts.
Please, sir.
I just, man, I was in Oxnard when you were doing that. Not you, but and Eric jumped in, too. I saw that was so.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, get Eric's thoughts on this whole thing. Jeez.
It shake you at all?
Huh?
What? What'd you say?
Are you kidding me? This guy's confidence?
Yeah.
It's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, no, it's not going to shake the confidence.
What about Booker? Is he going to play?
What's the latest? That honestly sticks with me even more than the Rowdy one, because I know that I was not coming at it from a disrespectful place, you know, so I'm confident in that.
I don't
feel
think
bad
Dawson
for the way he
either.
Took it. I do, and I can't believe he still got sour grapes about it. And he's lashing out a little bit, but hey, that's understandable. He's offended. He's hurt. He's wounded, but he's also been inspired at the plate. So there's some silver linings to this whole deal.
So when he launched that one last night, you kind of said,
I felt like I gave myself a pat on the back. Like, damn right. I don't think without the girthquake, testosterone, anger fueling him, I don't know that he hits that. I don't. And neither do you.
And neither does he. I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't want to make matters worse, but I do think last night actually pushed him on in the honorable mentions of my favorite heavy set athletes of all time.
You have a top three?
Yeah, I have a top three.
Well, number one's Bartolo Colon.
Babe Ruth, Shaq, Kirby Puckett, Luka Doncic. Yes, I think Luke has temporarily slid out of the heavyset athlete criteria, but he'll be back.
He'll be back.
Yeah. 2023-2024 Luke is goaded.
You went to that list quick.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a long time, you know, and I kind of put it to the side because, you know, some people I guess got offended by it back in the day, so I've adjusted it for heavy set athletes and congrats to Rowdy for, you know, being on just the outside looking in now.
Be careful using the heavy set stuff though, because that becomes a little patronizing. Sometimes they just want to be called fat. You know? Call it like what it is. So you just got to be careful.
He did say they, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
like these other people. They're not human beings.
What am I supposed to say? We?
Swimming in quicksand, bro.
Let's just live in a world that is just not real. We, as fat people, want to be called fat, not heavy set.
We have fat on us. It's a scientific term.
Yeah. I think
there you go.
That.
So why is anybody offended by it? It's a scientific term.
I'm not.
Just return serve on you. Damn right, it's scientific.
Change my mind.
Change my mind. Okay, real quick though, I did some. You know, earlier I was talking about the Joneses and value and stuff and having to put. I learned something about escrow.
You don't lose, you learn.
There's an escrow account that they have to. I thought it was the total value of the contract. It's actually the.
Guaranteed parts.
The guaranteed parts. So for
interesting.
So I did a quick math and looked at the Eagles. You're roughly $62 million difference on what you're having to pay as opposed to what they're having to pay. Their top five come to a total of $249.2 million, and yours come to $312 million.
You're outspending the Eagles.
You're outspending them that way. But that money is going into escrow, and I wonder if that's. But I want to know. I thought it was the full amount of the value of the contract. It's actually just the portion of the. So, but that is something that they do have to account for. All right, looking at practice, and it's kind of saying, By the way, on practice, Wolchuk, is Phil Moffis picking up people in blitzes and stuff?
Hey, let's go,
Come
Phil.
Come on. Let's go, Phil.
First off, we should all be rooting for Phil Moffa, because how awesome is it when a guy gets into the game and you're like, go get him, Phil. Let's go, Phil. Come on, Phil. Hell of a run, Phil. Like, yeah. We're not getting to cheer for a lot of Phils out there anymore. Let's bring back the Phil.
And I can hear Brad Sham saying now he's a bad Moffa.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's like going to make it in two guys, one booth.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what the things where, you know, we were kind of worried. I know going into training camp, can this guy blitz pick up, and huge. can he find ways? He's going to catch the football. But his running style and all that. I know, Zach, you've kind of talked about him as go with him in blue.
Yeah.
Do you have a third
go with
one?
The legs.
You don't, is there a third one? Do you want, which?
No, I'm cool with either, whichever one's better between Williams and Sanders. Let them compete. But I want to keep both the rookies.
Do you feel like the other way, maybe Moffa, you have the same guy in Williams?
I think with blue, you have a similar guy in Williams. I think, now, Williams has looked solid in some of the routes here, but yes, like Williams, his attributes are solid pass protector, can catch the ball in the backfield, but also is one of those dudes between the tackles, isn't going to give you a ton of burst and speed, right? Maybe Sanders gives you a bit more of that, but yes, I think Williams has more of a similar skill set to what you have with, say, a Moffa or a Blue. I would agree with that.
You see Dak's interception?
No, I didn't see Dak's interception.
Malik Hooker, baby.
Malik Hooker got him.
There you go, Malik.
I was looking for the all 22 on that, Brian. It was obscured viewed on the video I got, but it looked like it. Once again, he didn't see a DB lurking.
That seems to be the one thing that happens to Dak. And he made a really nice throw to CeeDee Lamb along the sidelines.
And Hawk, Pickens.
Yeah, and Hoppin was in for Booker on that particular time. They got Hoppin playing a little right guard with the ones today. So Booker was then, I say, oh, I wonder if something's wrong with Booker. Am I going to have to check on that?
Seriously.
But then they came back a couple of clips later that Booker was in there, but it looked like Hoffman and Booker are kind of rotating a little bit there. But
I don't like that.
Yeah. It looks like, too, that I don't think that he saw Tolbert's route, and I don't think Tolbert stopped. I think Tolbert was coming across the field, and I think Dak just, I want to say with the way it was his eyes, it looked like he was looking to his left and then came back in a way to see that maybe he thought that Tolbert was going to be all the way across. But really nice job by Hooker. And I've been very critical of Hooker and the way that he's played as far as, like, you know, does he make enough of these types of plays? And in this particular one, I thought he did a really, really nice job of stepping in front of Tolbert and getting that one done right there. So good for him on that. It looked like to me that the clips I've seen, too, that Murray at linebackers had some good work today as well. He is, there were a couple of runs where the ball went to the outside, to the edge, where he was able to fill. But that kind of came at a price, because the guy that was trying to get to him a couple of different times was Booker. And Booker was a step late on those. He was late getting to Murray. Murray read the run and was able to work across. Everything else was kind of taken care of, but they couldn't get Booker up on Murray. And then Murray was able to fill on the play.
Because I feel like there's a lot of pressure in this defense for these linebackers. If the linebackers aren't coming up and playing the run, they're in a world of trouble.
Yeah, they've got it. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Remember this, Dawson? We were saying the run defense is going to be about playing gaps and then filling the gaps. It's the linemen are going to go one way, the backers are going to go another, and they're going to bring a guy down. That's how they're going to have to play this. They also got a sack. They got a sack also with Sanborn got a sack.
Nice.
They ran a game where they brought Clark and Sanborn, but it wasn't like the double A gap blitz stuff. It was like Clark on the outside and then Sanborn looping around him, and Deuce Vaughn had to pick up. He picked up the closest one, which was Clark, but Sanborn was able to get home. So maybe this is a little something. We've seen some double A gap blitz stuff that they've done. You know, that in the past with Micah, maybe that was something that Eberflus was going to work on. But this one was a little bit of a wider blitz. Good for Deuce Vaughn picking it up. But, you know, like I said, they got to get the ball out a little bit quicker. That was a Joe Milton-led sack. It looked like Donovan Ezeraku, the couple of the opportunities I saw on the edge, like he was playing with a little bit more stoutness over there, not running up the field, kind of reading it, kind of seeing the block, able to get rid of the blocker on him and then kind of make sure that the back didn't get wider than him on that. So that's good for him. There's going to be questions like, is he up the field, No, he's able to play. We've seen him play some run defense before, but it's nice to see him with the ball going right at him that he was able to keep that outside shoulder free and then make that play, spill that thing back inside, and then really no gain on the play there. So looked like a pretty good day for the defense overall and with the clips I've been able to see.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Tremendous report every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Brian brought us talking Cowboys with you in Krusty's Corner. We got Woolchuck coming up next. What are we doing?
Just some Cowboys sounds of the day. Emmett setting the record straight, man on fire, and are you surprised? That's next.